You may go to your cupboard and find it full. And yet, taking food to eat doesn't satisfy. You may have gone to work recently and found that your job was phased out. Or maybe your experience was like the mother who, crying out to God because of the loss of her 2-year-old daughter after a battle with cancer. Where are you, God? Where were you? Or like a husband watching his wife slip away after 34 years of marriage, also a battle with cancer. 34 years of joy and now sorrow. Teens often look at life through a lens of desperation and face questions because things don't fit, don't make sense. We look at our world and we see a nation using its power, its army, its forces, its aggression against another nation. Today is 2 months of war in Ukraine. But we could think of other places in the world like Ethiopia, Sudan, Afghanistan, Yemen. Or we even look around us and we see the injustice in our own lives. You and I oftentimes look at life and we realize that our lives are blessed. And yet we face those questions. They are very real to us. Because many times life just don't make no sense. Life today can challenge our human logic, can challenge our ability to make sense of what we experience. You see, God made us as sense-making creatures. He built into us that capacity to explore our world, to discover, to make sense of those experiences around us. See, every night when you go to sleep, your brain spends time and energy to make sense, make connections of all the things that happened during the day. Have you ever woken up in the morning and you go, hey, I have an idea, something that happened yesterday, and all of a sudden, that's your brain that God built into you to make sense out of what we experience in life. And yet, with all that capacity to be able to fill in the blank, have you seen, you know, a phrase that, you know, there's a word missing and you go, hold it. Or a word that there's a letter that's missing. Your brain still is able to make sense of that. Because your brain fills in the... You were created in a way to make sense out of this world. Human beings made in the image of God do not live life based on the facts of our experience, but based on the interpretation of those facts. Whether you know it or not, you have been designed by God to be a meaning maker, a sense maker. That's the way God built you. You are a rational human being, even if it doesn't always show. And you have a constant desire to make sense of what you experience. You're constantly thinking, constantly interpreting. You don't actually respond to what is going on around you. You respond to the sense that you make of what is going on around you. This means that there are always some kind of grid that we use to interpret what we experience. We have a grid. We have a mental filter. Or perhaps better to say, we have a heart filter that helps us to filter through and make sense of what we experience. Everybody believes something. Everybody has a grid, has something, assumes that there are certain things that are true, assumes that there are certain things that bring happiness. We have our system of wisdom. That's how we were made. So when life doesn't make sense, we struggle. Our minds and our hearts work overtime to make sense of it all. And we get tired. That's been my experience, maybe yours too, these last couple of years. With all of the uncertainty during the time of COVID, my mind and my heart were struggling to make sense of everything. And I found myself getting exhausted. Just like your brain works to fill in the blanks to make sense, our hearts work to fill in the blanks when life doesn't make sense. You see, when God is at work, you don't need to be surprised, but we are, that human logic gets turned on its head. God delights in doing the unexpected, the unpredictable, turning the laws of probability, turning the realities that we think are true, sometimes turning them on their head. Because when God is at work, there's something else in operation. God and His grace make a difference in our lives, in our way of experiencing what we face in life. Understanding God's ability in history to defy human logic prepares our minds and our hearts for the principles that God uses to bless our lives and to guide us on that path of life. Beginning today and over the next few weeks, we'll be exploring how God's principles defy human logic and how they make the best sense of our lives. I want to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. These things happen to them as examples to us. These things, what were those things? In the first part of chapter 10, Paul writes about all sorts of things from the people of Israel and how those things stand for us as examples. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Scripture was written to give us examples of how to walk with God, of the things that we will face and how God meets us in the midst of those things. They were written down to warn us. Now, maybe you thought, as you've seen things unfolding around us in this world today, in these recent months, are we at the end of the age? Well, if we are, then let these stories of this week and the coming weeks be times that God warns us so that we can walk the walk of faith. Hebrews 11 is a chapter filled with stories of faith. One of those is the incident of the Exodus, Moses leading God's people out of slavery. They'd been there for over 400 years, and as God intervened, brought them out of Egypt, delivered them from slavery, they were thinking that they were free, and as they were walking, they ran smack dab into a sea, a wall of water. And as they stood before the water looking at that, they saw the cloud coming behind them, the dust of the armies of Egypt coming after them. And there they were, caught between the armies and the sea. Moses called on them to look and see what God will do. And through the night, the wind blew. And in the morning, they walked through on dry land. Between walls of water on each side. I think this is almost comical when you think of it, isn't it? Here they are walking through the water, but not being touched by it. Dry land. And I don't know whether they'd see fish swimming in the... They get across to the other side, and they're wondering, but the army is after us. And truly, the army entered into that same place where they had walked through. And you know the story. God released the water, and it crashed in on that army, crushing them, drowning them. And the victory of the Lord was complete. Now, they had to walk on. And as they walked on in that life of faith, they began to see how God provided sandals that didn't wear out, food every day, in the middle of the wilderness. They didn't have supply chain problems. God was their provider. We could think of other stories. You know, Gideon, a general, realized that he was facing an army of several thousands, tens of thousands of soldiers. And he had a little army of 10 or 12,000. And God said, "You have too many." You go, excuse me? God said, "Yeah." In the end, Gideon took his 300 men against those thousands and thousands and thousands, and God brought the victory. If you put your hand on a hot stove, what happens? Burns. Except that there was a time when there were three young men who stood up for God, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace, and it didn't burn because God was with them. Well, you could think of the widow's screws of oil, that little jar of oil that was all she had, and God multiplied that for months. Or think of the little boy who brought his lunch. He thought he was going out to have a time to be able to be with some people that were going to hear Jesus, and he brought his little lunch with him. Mom was real careful that day, packed him a good lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fish. Nice sardine sandwich. He didn't know that that little lunch of his that was to feed one would feed thousands. But the biggest story of these is the story we celebrated last weekend, where Christ had come and lived and died on the cross and rose again on Easter. It's that story of the dead man's cross and the live man's empty tomb, that gospel of Jesus Christ, that makes the most sense. Not human sense, but God sense. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:20. So where does this gospel, leave the philosophers and scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. God took what was thought to be wise and turned it on its head. A couple of verses later, Paul continues, instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise, and chose the things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. God has a way of working in the midst of the things that don't make sense to us to work out his plan. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. This gospel, this working of God in our lives is the only way to make sense out of life. It's the only lens through which you can see life accurately. It's the only kind of wisdom that really does give a final and reliable answer to the fundamental questions of life that every person asks. And at the center of this message of wisdom is not a set of ideas, is not a group of principles, is not some proposition. No, it is a person who in his life and death offers you not only answers, but himself. And with himself, he offers you the grace that you need to be what you were created to be and to do what you were called to do. So if God can defy logic in these ways, how much more will his teaching show us a path to life? You may be here asking this morning, I've experienced some of these, but how can I find the path of life? The path of life is really the person of Jesus Christ. He said to us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me and find rest. Come to Jesus and ask him to be your Lord and let him make sense in your life. If you're here this morning at the conclusion of our time, there will be people here who will be willing to pray with you. It would be an opportunity for you to come and ask them, help me to find the path of life. But even as we have entered into that path of life, you will still encounter questions. You will still face doubts. You will have dark moments, times when the fog rolls in and life just don't make no sense. But you will face those times with Christ in a different way. Because the person of Jesus Christ will bring hope and life into the midst of those circumstances. So what to do when life don't make no sense? How can we find the God sense? When life doesn't make sense, settle into what you already know that you know about God. Rest in God. That's faith. Rest in what you already know of God when those questions seem to roll over you. Missionaries often face a challenge to take a biblical concept, biblical words, and put them into the language of the people they're working with. That's not an easy job, because taking what the Bible says and translating it into the language of the people requires understanding the meaning of those words. So this Bible translator, there's a story told of one as he was working with this tribe that did not have a written language. He was working to put their language into writing at the same time as translating scriptures. And he was looking for the word for faith. They talked over all sorts of words, and none seemed to fit. And in exasperation, the translator threw himself into a chair and his language helper spoke a word that he had never heard before. What was that word you said? Explain it to me. Give me some other examples. And over the next day or two, they began to talk about that word. And as he began to understand it, that word was an expression of someone who gives up their own trying, comes to the end of their ability, and leans completely back into, in that case, back into the hammock. What a picture. As they discussed that word over those days, they came to the conclusion that was the word, expressing our need to come to the end of our own strength, to the end of our own understanding, of our self-confidence, and relying totally on the other. And in this case, that's faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in God needs to be that kind of total reliance on him. God has already showed you certain truths about who he is. He has already showed you through your experience with him of what his character is. So when we are hit with those dark moments, when the fog rolls in, the surprises come, we may be tempted to question, God, are you there? Are you responding to me and to my needs? It is at those times that we need to come back to our rock-solid truths that we know for certain and rest in God, in the truth that we know. Earlier in my life, I learned this principle, and I hang on to this. Don't question in the dark what God has revealed in the light. When the darkness rolls in, we're tempted to question, but we need to hang on to and rest in what we know that we know of God. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Paul is written in Hebrews 11:1. the evidence of the things we cannot see. At those times when the darkness rolls in, we have to hang on to the evidence of what we know God to be, even though at that moment we can't see it. That's faith. Hanging on to what we know. Several years ago, as I walked that walk of grief, there were days that I had to say to myself out loud, as I said them to God, but I had to say them to myself out loud. Lord, I don't feel your goodness today, but I learned and know that you are good. I have experienced your faithfulness. I have experienced your goodness. And today, I affirm and rest in your goodness. Sometimes we have to speak to ourselves to rest in and hold on to what we know to be true. That was an affirmation of my faith. I had learned something about God as I experienced Him and I experienced His working in my life. But the new experience put some of that into question. I chose to affirm my faith and to rest in who I knew to be God. Don't question in the dark what God has revealed to you in the light. When life doesn't make sense, seek out reliable sources. Recall the revelation that builds faith. You see, God's revelation is what builds our faith. We need to keep recalling. So that's why we emphasize the importance of being in the Word in our community groups. As we speak here, as we bring people together, the emphasis is that we find what God wants as we dig into His Word. Faith comes by hearing, Paul says in Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing. That is, hearing the Word of God or hearing the good news of Christ. Faith comes by hearing it, by reading it, by studying it, by digging into it. The best way to build your faith at those moments when the questions roll in is to dig into God's Word. And sometimes when we dig into God's Word, we find an expression there that surprises us. Wrapped in the word lament. As I was preparing this message, Karen shared with me one of her reflections on Psalm 77. Psalm 77 is a psalm of lament. Just so you know, a psalm of lament is an expression of pain. It's an expression of problem. It's an expression of powerlessness. It's an expression of, hey, this don't make no sense. Often, these kinds of circumstances are the ones that draw us to a point of questioning. Times that we need to lean on reliable sources of truth to support our faith, to build our faith, to encourage our faith. The psalmist speaks to God about those times of trouble. And that's the first point about lament, is that we speak to God about the problem. Moaning to the Lord day and night. He reaches a point where his questions are these. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Just, do you hear how even in the questions he's asking and speaking about the truth of who God is? I love that question. Is his unfailing love gone forever? Hold it. How can unfailing love be gone forever? See, there's the wrestling. Yet he chooses to remember and meditate on God's word. He chooses to remember God's actions. He chooses to remember and meditate on what was. And he speaks of the days of old, not in that nostalgic way of the good old days that were better than today, but of remembering God at work in the history of Israel. remembers how God brought them through the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. But before he was able to make the turn to that remembering, he was faced with a choice. Verses 11 and 12 say, "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord." See, he faced a choice. And what was his choice? I could continue to wallow in all that feeling, or I can recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. There's where we face that real struggle. We understand as we are hanging on to what we know of God, as we look at the sources, those reliable sources of revelation that speak to us, there are times that we go, I see this is true, but this is what I'm feeling. And so when life doesn't make sense, we're faced with a choice. Do we complain and drill down into ourselves, or do we lament, that is, speak to God about the pain, choose his reorientation of our thinking, reach up for the reliable sources for our walk of faith in the face of adversities, in the face of those confusing circumstances? Lament in the Bible begins with a declaration of trouble to God. It doesn't gather a group of people together and complain together. No, it takes our pain to God. And in that act of taking it to God, it reorients our perspective. So as we speak to God, we voice our complaint and our confusion, and we request that God boldly that God intervene. And we choose to trust that he is listening and will answer, even if we don't see the answer right away. Lament is the prayer language for God's people as they live in a world marred by sin. It is how we talk to God about our sorrows as we renew our hope in his sovereign care. To cry is human, but to lament is Christian. While crying is fundamental to humanity, Christians lament because they know that God is sovereign and good. Christians know his promises in the scripture. We believe in God's power to deliver. We know the tomb is empty and that Jesus is alive. Hallelujah! Lament prayers take faith. We experience pain. We experience sorrow. Lament is the language for living between the poles of the hard life here and trusting God in his sovereignty. It is a prayer form for people who are waiting for the day that Jesus will return and make everything right. Christians don't just mourn. We long for God to end the pain. Lament prayers take faith because we are talking to God instead of sinfully getting angry and embittered. And that requires the biblical conviction of God and his work and his sovereignty in this world. Laying out the messy struggles of our soul and then asking again and again for God to help you requires a solid faith mooring. Laments turn toward God when sorrow tempts us to turn and run. Therefore, Christians not only mourn the brokenness of the world, but we also long for the day when all weeping will cease. Isn't that true? We may wonder, how long, O Lord? But we ask that question with hope, that one day he will resolve it all. Anyone can cry, but only Christians can faithfully lament. Lament is that pattern of seeking God's reliable source for understanding and responding in those times that don't make sense to us. So when life doesn't make sense, we have to settle into what we know about God. We need to seek those resources, those sources that will give us and build our faith, and we need to slow down. God's revelation of himself and how it fits with our lives sometimes takes time to unfold. Have you ever lost your keys? Or something else that you needed and it was important at that moment? You know, maybe you couldn't find your cell phone or you... And what's the tendency? The mind begins to race, the body begins to go faster, and you're frantically going around looking, where is it, where is it? You see, humanly, we tend to speed up when what we need to do is take a deep breath, slow down. Slow down so that God's revelation of his truth can feed our faith and help us to see the unfolding of God at work in our lives. God is not impatient. He knows what it will take to get us there. So in Psalm 119, 105, we read this. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Some of you may have heard Karen use this as an illustration. God guides us by way of a lantern that he has given us, a flashlight that he has given to us. Ever been camping where there's no streetlights around or anything and it's so dark, you take your flashlight and you'll shine it. It's like, hold it, there's hardly any light. How do I see where I'm going? Shine it right in front of you so that you can take the next step. May God's word light our next step, not necessarily helping us to see the whole story in front of us. To see to make the next step, we need to slow down to allow God's truth to guide that next step. When life doesn't make sense, we enter into a process where God is clarifying for us those things that we really value, those things that we love, those things that orient us, helping us to see our filters, the things we use to make sense. Why do we need this? You and I both need it because we struggle in this life to remember what is truly important. That is, what God says is important. So God ordains for us to experience that physical things get old and break. The people in our lives fail us. Relationships sour and become painful. Our physical bodies weak and flowers die and food spoils. All of this is meant to teach us that these things are beautiful and enjoyable, but they cannot give us what we all long for. True life. It's in those moments when we encounter that tension that we are fighting. Sometimes we fight with ourselves. Sometimes we fight with God. Psalm 46:10 reminds us, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still here speaks of dropping. Instead of fighting, wrestling with God, drop your arms. An act of surrender. An act of giving in to God. Stop fighting. Take a deep breath. Wait. When we come to those moments that don't make sense, we often are fighting within ourselves with God. And in the tensions of that fight, we get tired out. God calls on us in those times to be still, stop the fight, rest, slow down, so that you can know, as he says, so that you can know that I am God. In the waiting and the stopping and the trusting, we recall the revelation, we recall the truth that we have learned, and it builds our faith. Faith that will help us to encounter that God makes sense of our lives when we can't seem to make sense of it. So as you go through life and life just don't make no sense, practice this walk of trusting God. practice this walk. Two things to emphasize there. Practice is a daily training of doing it day after day. The walk is step by step. And sometimes the walk is a marathon. So that walk of faith involves these steps of settling into what we know that we know about God, resting in God. That's faith. Choose to believe. Express it to yourself. Tell yourself what you believe, so that you find that your hope stretches faith out to eternity. Second, seek out reliable sources to remind you of who God is. Recall His revelation as the foundation for your faith. Dig into His Word. Spend time together with others studying it. Third, slow down. In a time of respite, retreat, renewal, waiting and trusting on God for the truth to become clearer over time. Just like the people of Israel standing before the wall of water in front of them and the army behind them, may God help us to see that in those times we need to look to Him, wait for Him to intervene, and then walk with Him. May you continue that walk of faith and see Him make sense where life just don't make no sense. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You just now. We admit that often life don't make no sense. Lord, lift our eyes to see beyond this world. Change our outlook to see You at work. Teach us to walk in faith, trusting You to make sense in this broken world. Meet us here where we are and take us onward to be what You created us to be and do what You called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. If you find yourself in a time that don't make no sense, there'll be prayer partners here at the front of the worship space at the end, and would encourage you to come seek somebody to pray with you. Don't walk that time of darkness alone, but allow Him to meet you, encourage your faith, and help you to walk with Him. Don't stand alone in your troubling time. Seek God in prayer to meet you right there where you are and work His grace in your life. May God bless you as you walk that walk of faith and see Him build your faith in those moments that life don't make no sense, but He makes sense.
Come on, everybody. Let's just stand up and worship Him today.
The Lord God. if you could lift your hands all across the room. Father God, we are so grateful for your word this morning. Father God, we trust you in all things, Lord. Even when things don't make sense, God, we continue to trust you, Lord. So we just pray over the congregation. Let this be a week of blessing and favor. Father God, use us to be a light to this dark land. So, Father God, we love you, we thank you, honor you, and praise you. In the mighty, precious name of Jesus. And all said amen. Amen. You guys have a blessed week.